This is a podcast that you want to come to, where we're supporting all women who are going through different things or have gone through different things and want to stop by and encourage and say something that will uplift and inspire another female. So, thank you for stopping by, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Yep. Hey.
Hey, Yvonne. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. So what's the topic of discussion going to be today?
So the topic is talking about something that has happened, a certain experience that has changed who you are or has changed your life. And basically just... what could you get advice you could give to someone else, you know, and whenever they're going through certain situations? That's it. Nothing too major.
Okay, cool. Well, I got a couple situations like that.
All right, well, feel free to share. You are on real, you know, we're on this podcast called Real Life, Real Talk. And it's basically where we come to talk about things that we have been through as women and how we can motivate other women, to get through whatever, you know, trials and tribulations that they might be going through at the time. Motivate somebody.
Okay. Well, the first one that initially changed who I was, it was something very jarring that occurred when I was 13 years old, and that was the death of my father. Mm. And from the time I was a little girl, death has been a friend of mine and not been a friend of mine. Right. I remember some of my earliest childhood memories, was of attending funerals and losing people close to me. Mm-hmm. But that particular one was the one that... That did me in for a while. It changed who I was, you know, because I was so close to my father.
Right.
I still remember the day that it happened. It was summer. He passed away. As a matter of fact, what makes this podcast so special is that tomorrow will actually be the death of his anniversary. He passed away August 7th. 1994, which is 1 month, 1 week, and 1 day before my 14th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. So what I remember, I still remember everything like it was yesterday. And the most important thing that I remember was the disbelief that I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Was the disbelief that I felt. You know, when the police knocked on the door to inform my mother and I that, you know, my father was no longer alive. And I just talked to him yesterday, and it was especially jarring for me being an only child and a daddy's girl.
Yeah. Okay.
I spent many years in and out of relationships and seeking friendship and love from the wrong people. I spent many years, heavily addicted to drugs and alcohol, just trying to cope with it and make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
And at the age of, I won't tell you my age, no, I'm just joking, but at the age of 39, it's finally okay.
Wow, you're 39?
Yes, boo. I'll be 40 next month.
Oh, wow. You don't even look it. That's good.
Thank you. Thank you. I guess one of the things that helped me cope and get through was first I had to go through growing pains because I was an adolescent. And, as they say in the South, I hadn't smelled myself yet, so I was starting to smell myself.
Right.
So after, you know, going through adolescence and finding out who I was, and through my, you know, going through my teen years and early adulthood, I don't know how it got better. I just got stronger. You know, one thing that I did do was, you know, I talked about my father often, mm-hmm. you know, to help me deal with it. I, of course, remember always the good things. You know, one thing that I will say about my father, you know, he was human. You know, of course, he was no God, but I always kept him on a pedestal. But that's how I saw my father in my eyes. He did no wrong. And I know he wasn't perfect, right. but he was a good father to me. So, you know, they gave me a lot of comfort. And just knowing that I was being the best person that I could possibly be, and if he were looking down on me, you know, just knowing that he would be proud of me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wasn't expecting that, but it's enough. It's enough at this point.
Yeah.
No, he's gone, but he'll never be forgotten by many.
That's a touchy subject.
Yeah, you know, even in my adulthood, when I have a bad day, you know, when I don't know the answers to some things, when I'm facing challenges. Hard-headed, stubborn, still cry for my father. I don't know what to do, but right. I just do the best that I can.
Right. And you said that y'all were really close.
And Tay, hold on for 1 second. I gotta do something really quickly, baby. Hold on. I'll give me like 2 seconds and I'm coming right back.
Okay. I'm here.
I'm back. I had to do something really quickly. Yeah, so that was one of my struggles. Another one of my struggles. Jesus is about to take the wheel. was being in a toxic relationship. Almost 10 years of my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
10?
Yeah.
Why 10?
What you said, why 10?
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of my character flaws is that I see the little bit of good in people.
Mm-hmm.
And I stretched that shit till it popped like a broke man.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. And despite of what was really in my face, or what was happening, what I saw and wasn't willing to acknowledge, that mm-hmm. little bit of good, that little bit of kindness, and the minuscule amount of love that remained. That remained kept me there, stuck for so long. You know, we had a child together,
mm-hmm.
and he was a father, and still is. I ain't gonna mm-hmm. say was, still is a father to my 15-year-old, who is not his. He's been in that child's life since he was 3 years old. And I will say, despite what he was or was not to me, he's always been a stand-up guy in that aspect.
Right.
And has been good to my children. So that is, you know, some of the things that kept me there.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Not really, but but you can dig it. It makes sense.
I can dig it.
Yeah. You know, and you know, throughout, and when I say these things, I don't want anyone, you know, who may hear this podcast to think that I am downplaying my actions or anything like that. It is just my point of view, because you know, my shit stinks first and foremost, and I'm far from perfect. You know, it's just the subject at hand. You know, throughout all of the things that happened, only now as a woman, I am able to be accountable, because it ain't all his fault.
Right.
That man couldn't have treated me how he treated me if I wasn't there.
Right. Exactly.
You know, he ain't asked me to stay. You know, it was a decision that I made.
Right.
And I can honestly say today, you know, I don't regret any of it, because it made me the woman that I am, and I'm a hell of a woman. I'm really proud of who, you know, life and that relationship and circumstances and the universe has shaped me into.
Okay. I think you're a hell of a woman, too.
What did you say?
I said, I think that you're a hell of a woman, too.
Oh, thank you, sis. See, I'm right back at you. You know, we done been through it, you know, through our struggles. We have fostered a friendship, and we know each other, but we don't know each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The one thing that we got is the bond and the love and the ribs, and that's all that matters.
Right. I agree. So how did you end up getting out of that toxic relationship? Did you go through something to where you just had to say enough was enough? You don't have to really talk about it, but like, when did you realize that the rubber band had popped and you were done?
Okay. Well, honesty is the best policy.
It is.
So, one point was when, you know, he and I, we used to have arguments, and we used to fight, and, you know, it had gotten bad one night, and, I remember it was cold. It was about, let's say about 2 in the morning, and, we had ended up, you know, getting in a verbal and a physical altercation.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared the shit out of me, because, you know, I saw a look in his eyes that he was no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
The man that I knew and loved, he had checked out, and he was about to be on my ass, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep in mind, I have 2 small children in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a couple of his friends were there, and they helped, you know, pull him off of me. I mean, I wasn't too, you know, physically scarred, but it's the emotional and psychological component of it. But long story short, I didn't have any money. I don't even know if I had a phone at that time. I mean, I was living reckless. And I remember asking. His friend to use the phone, and I was like, man, let me get $20. And what I did, I called my mother, and I called a cab. My mama said, come on, because I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what he was going to do. And so I called the cab, and I took my children, and we jumped in the cab. And he was in a different part of the house at the time, and he didn't know that we were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember, mind you, it's still about 30 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
I took my daughter, she was about 3 at the time, no shoes on her feet, just coat and clothes and night clothes. And my son, he put on his shoes and his coat, and we ran in the cab. And of course, the cab driver didn't know what he was getting into. He said, where are you going? And I'm like, just drive. I'm screaming all hysterical, and I'll never forget, my son, who was about 9 at the time, he looked down at his sister's feet,
And he said, you taking my, he said, you can't take my sister without no shoes. And he ran back in the house, and girl, I just wanted to die. But he made it out. But when he came out, their dad was behind them. And I'm screaming to the cab driver. I'm like, just drive, just go. You know, he gonna kill me. And that was the stretching of the rubber band. It hadn't popped yet. That was the what led to the pop. It was the stretch. But I went to my mother's house, me and the kids, and I cried. I didn't know what to do. And I called Safe Alliance. They took me in for about 3 months. And once I was there, I was able to gain employment, you know, pick myself back up and put my life back together.
Right.
But that was not the end. That wasn't the end because I went back. I went back to one, and right. And throughout all of this, you know, we were going through things, and at this time he started, you know, he was seeing other people, and you know, I was doing some dirt as well. So I had ended up finding comfort in someone close to him. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. I ended up finding a lover and comfort in someone close to him. So I'm going to say about another year or so, year and a half down the road. About a year or two down the road, you know, when he found out who I was messing with, he kind of went ham and smacked the shit out of me so hard I thought I lost my hearing. But that, my friend, right there, the slap heard around the world, was the was the rubber band that broke the camel's back.
Okay.
And so that, with that being said, you know, once again, I'm back to square one. I think at this time I might have a phone. I didn't have a job, and it was just, you know, me and these babies, and it wasn't good for anybody.
Right.
You know, and you know, now that I reflect on things, you know, once that happened, like I said, I was jobless, and I didn't have this, I didn't have that, girl, I didn't have a pot to piss in, more a window to throw it out of. And you know, at that time, you know, he was still, even though we still had stuff going on, he still, you know, would make an effort to pay bills and, you know, make sure that the kids were okay. But long story short, because I wasn't making sure that I was okay, I ended up getting evicted, and I had kind of ended up here and there and everywhere. And throughout my journey, you know, the universe sent some angels along the way in the form of, you know, friends, Nika Washington and Shaquina Potts. They just gave me, you know, they took care of me and loved me when I wasn't able to take care of and love myself.
Right.
And I don't know how. I don't know when it clicked or what clicked. But when I was homeless, he did have the children, so my children were okay.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Like I said, despite what he was or wasn't to me, he was always good to them kids.
Right.
So that's something that I could never take away from him, and that's something that I would never try to take away from him. But, you know, I got tired of
my kids calling and crying for me. You know, you can only medicate and drink so much. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
At the end of the day, if you any kind of a halfway decent mother, you're going to do what you got to do mm-hmm. to get your kids back and make sure your babies are all right.
That's true.
And that's what I did. Okay. I can say today, he and I are on speaking terms. Of course, he's seeing other, you know, he's seeing someone else as I am, which is for the best because we ain't no good together. You know, we ain't no good together when my mama used to call us Bobby and Whitney, okay? See, we get to cutting up on the weekend. She was like, oh, hell, Bobby and Whitney back at it.
That's funny.
But now, you know, at this point in my life, I have a career that I love, mm-hmm. I have experience in, mm-hmm. and I got my babies home with.
That's a fact.
And I made a promise to them that no matter what happened in our lives, I'd never leave them again, and they'd never leave me.
That's a testimony that I think all women should hear. Because I'm pretty sure there's somebody out here that's going through that same thing or has gone through it. I know I have. I've been through something similar to that. And I almost lost my baby. I was pregnant and I almost lost my son going through a toxic relationship. So it has been a real struggle to get up on my feet. But I'm finally there after like freaking almost 10 years. So.
Right?
So
what I will say, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what I will say to anyone who may hear this, who may be in that type of situation, in a toxic relationship, get out.
Mm-hmm.
Get out. Despite the fear that you may feel, it's only false evidence appearing real. Get mm-hmm. out. There are people who will help you. There are organizations who will help you.
Mm-hmm.
Get out while you still have the life to get out.
Because
mm-hmm. the next time may be your last time.
I agree with that. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. This is something that, you know, I believe that will help someone else. I know for a fact it will. You keep pushing, keep striving, because you are a better woman today. Like, really.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, I hope you make it home safe. I know you was just getting off work, and I do appreciate you hopping on.
Absolutely, and anytime you need me to hop on, girl, I can talk. I'll do it. So you just let me know, and I'm here.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Love you, sis. Bye bye.
Love you too. Bye bye. Hello.
Hi.
Hey. How are you?
I was like, I finally got it. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Whitney Dandridge, also known as WittyWitWit89 on Instagram.
So, thank you for joining today. The topic was basically talking about a certain experience that you have gone through or some type of trial that you went through that changed who you were or changed who you are, and how did you cope with it, and any type of positive message you would like to leave to another woman that's listening to this.
Something that changed me. This hasn't been in a positive way, and it's something I don't really speak about.
Mm-hmm.
So your podcast is like the first podcast I ever touch on it.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I would talk to, like, if I hear someone else's story about it, I'll touch on it and I'll talk about it. I usually don't talk about it much because it's like something emotional for me. And I don't like how I handle the situation. I felt like I could have handled it better. But at that time, I was young. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know how to handle the situation. So when I was in college, the type of person that I am is I trust everybody.
Okay.
And I'm building myself to kind of get back to where how I used to be, but not be how I used to be, if that makes sense.
It does.
Okay, so like when I meet new people, it's like, oh, this is my friend. Or I'm like a friendly person, so it's like everybody's my friend.
Right.
And so I've been told, it's like a lot of people be like, oh, well, everybody can't be your friend. And I'm like, why not? So, you know how you have those ones. I was a tomboy type girl.
Okay.
For one. And so it's like, where they say, well, girls can't have guy friends. And me, I'm thinking in my head, why not?
Why not? Right.
So, is starting college, I met some guys through other people that I knew in school. Mm-hmm. And so, I considered this guy as friend.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out with the guy with the other friends for a while until it was like my birthday week. And I was supposed to go out with my boyfriend that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't able to make it because it was my birthday weekend. So my friend is like, it's supposed to be me, my friend, and a few other people. We were supposed to go out and go over to his place. He offered his place. He was like, hey, well, I got a big TV, yada yada. You and everybody else can come over. So it's like, okay, cool. So it was like other people over there, and it's like, yeah, fine. So I come to find out my roommate, she already had other plans. And so I could not go with her again.
Right.
And so, well, she couldn't come with me again. So it was like, okay. But then he was like, well, I already bought all this stuff. I already got all this plan, yada, yada, yada. You still can come. So I was like, okay, cool, bet. You done did whatever. My boyfriend was supposed to go too. He was supposed to be part of the group. But since he had to work, he couldn't come again. So it was like everybody was canceling out. And then he was like, well, you still can come. So me, you're my friend. I'm trusting. Like, okay, let's go.
Right.
So I happened to get to the guy's place. And so we're talking, laughing, talking, watching TV, whatnot. And then I'm like, well, I thought other people were supposed to come. And he was like, oh, they're coming, they're coming. And happened to find out nobody else was coming. It was just me and him. So at that moment, it was like he decided to take that as an opportunity to do what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that day, I was raped. And so me being young, I'm not knowing what's going on. I don't know how to handle the situation. So I'm feeling like, okay, I already know my space and how I am has been violated.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest fear, my main thing was, will I make it back home? Because I didn't know this individual as much as I thought I did.
Right.
And so it's like, will I make it back? Because now he realizing, okay, what he did was wrong, and I was feeling some type of way. Most people were like, oh, she had to been drinking, or she asks for it, or stuff like that. And it's like, even if I was drinking, which I wasn't, because during that time I never drank, especially taking drinks from strangers. My mom, it was, even though he was a friend, but he still was kind of, you know, like a stranger. Like, I've learned to not leave drinks behind and stuff like that.
Right.
And so it's like, no, I wasn't drinking. And it was like, well, why would it happen? And it's like, no. So all these thoughts are running through my head. Like, what would I have a boyfriend. What would he think of me? Would he still want me? Because you hear girls go, oh, well, my man didn't want me anymore. And it's like, okay, do this guy have anything on? Do he have anything
Did he give me something? Why would he do this? And it's like, am I going to make it back? And the last thing I remember is calling. The first thing I did when I got was able to make it back to my dorm room was I called my best friend and I broke down crying. And I guess a lot of people look at it, oh, why she called the best friend? But I just did. It was like the only thing I could think of, and I was just crying, and I told her I didn't know what to do and all this other stuff. And so she talked me through and calmed me down a little bit. And so I felt so unclean that day, so I went to a shower, and I literally scrubbed myself to where, if I could, I believe I'd have been a scrub myself to like the white meat. And all I could do was just sit in the tub and cry to myself because I didn't know how to handle the situation. So it was like something I just kept to myself.
Oh, wow.
And I just started shutting down and I shut everybody out. So it was like, what's wrong? And every time anybody would ask me what was going on, it's like, oh, it's nothing. Knowing that I was fighting my own inner personal demons on the inside. And when I would go home to visit family, if a male figure in my family that I always looked up to, I felt uncomfortable around, started feeling uncomfortable around them. And it was like, I guess I started thinking, it was like, okay, I know I need to talk to somebody, but what is everybody going to think about me, like as an individual? And everybody don't understand what it feels like to be a rape victim. Everybody has their opinion and they don't know. It's like you got your opinions on how you should handle the situation, but you don't know that feeling. So you can't say what you go when you think a clear mind of you not being that type of person and it's not happening to you. Yes, you could think of, oh, well, I would have did this, I would have did that, I would have did this, that, and the other. But when it actually happens to you, you can't say what you would and what you wouldn't do.
Right.
And it was, it's like I just shut myself off. I wouldn't even, my boyfriend wouldn't let him touch me. It was just a shut off, and he knew something was wrong, and he was like, he kept asking me until I went to church one day and I just had a breakdown because I couldn't hold it anymore. And my grandmother is like, so I went, they took me to get checked and stuff. And the thing that I regret is that I didn't report the guy. And so that's the main thing I regret. And people was like, well, you should feel bad because you didn't do this. And it's like, I already feel that way. So why would you spew words like that towards me to make me feel worse about what happened? So how that affected me, I stopped trusting people and I stopped talking for a while. But lately I've been starting to try to get better at it, like trying to, you know, outgoing, get my outgoing personality that I used to have back. But my personality is not like how it used to be, because I used to be way more outgoing than I am now. so yeah, that's one thing that has changed me.
And you know what? I do agree with you on that. I am one who was, you know, raped at a young age. And that's something that is real hard to talk about. And it's also, you know, something that when it happens to you, you don't know what you are going to do at that moment, because you would never probably expect something like that to happen. So a lot of people say comments and make statements and they don't know because they've never been in that predicament before. You know what I mean? So I'm glad that you are, you know, talking about it, you know?
Yeah. My mom is like, and I've been told by someone who shared their story with me, and they're like, the more you talk, the better you'll feel. And I'm like, how do you... Okay. How do you talk about something that makes you, where society start making you feel like the one who committed the crime?
Right.
Like.
Right. Did you ever feel bad about yourself? Like, did you think it was your fault?
Yeah, it was so many thoughts going on in my head that I started to feel like it was my fault. And I was the reason why it happened to me, because it was like, people were like, well, you know better. You shouldn't have talked to this individual in the first place. You shouldn't have gone with this guy by yourself in the first place. So who's to say that you didn't ask for it? Were you drinking? Why did you go to this place with this guy by yourself in the first place?
Wow.
You only know, you say he was your friend. Yeah, but how long did you know him? And it was like, okay, yes, I understand the fact that, yeah, I only know him like for a couple of months. But It's like, just because you don't know a person for, I can know a person for a day, and I should be able to still go with that individual without expecting or being the cause that it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, y'all are asking me all these questions, like I'm the one who committed a crime. So it's like, now I started feeling like, okay, well, maybe it was my fault, because I know better. I should have never gone. You're taught, don't go with strangers. But at that time, I'm not looking at him as a stranger, because I've known the guy for 2 months.
Right.
And I understand that you can't tell what a person is just by how they act and show you, because people can always pretend. But then that's the last thing I'm thinking. Like, you always think this can never happen to me until it actually happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I felt like I was in a twilight zone for a while too, because I'm like, did this really happen to me? And it's like, how did I let this happen to me? Well, maybe I was at fault, because I should have known better than to go with somebody by myself like that. Or maybe I should have known better because I was there with them. But they was like, well, were you drinking? No, I wasn't drinking. I believe she... And then you hear rumors of people saying, oh, well, I believe she was drinking.
Because
Around that time, I was not old enough to drink. So it was like, I believe she was drinking. That's why she don't want to turn the guy in.
Wow.
And it's like, you remember, you ever watched in movies where the person is popular, and then that one female that's not popular, and she blasts out what this individual did to her, and then everybody make it seem like that's what she wanted.
Yep.
It was her fault.
Yep.
So I'm recalling all these things that I've seen, and it's like, okay, these people that are close to me are starting to sound like these individuals. So if you don't believe me, and you feel like I've been drinking, and you feel like that's what I've wanted, and you're close to me, you're supposed to be comforting me. And it sounds like you're on his side, because you're telling me I was wrong. You was wrong for getting in the car. You was wrong for going by yourself. You should have known better. So it's like, okay, if you're saying it, then what is people who don't know me going to say?
Mm-hmm. That's still
You could... Yeah, and it's like, all I want for you to do is be my support. Support me. Help me get over the situation. Yes, I already feel bad that I didn't report it or take it further, but you don't understand. I'm in college. And you don't know the stress that it is to now, if I'm reporting, that means I have cases, I have to go to court, and I have to still keep up with my grades while I'm in school.
Yep.
And I know it sounds selfish, but then at the same time, it's like, I'm young. I don't know. I don't know any better.
Do you think that the experience has made it difficult for you to find a significant other or have a boyfriend?
No, it hasn't affected that. It just makes me more aware.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pay attention to different things and be more aware of what's going on. And different individual characteristics. You know how they say a person has a characteristic and you see it, but you're like, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you see another characteristic, but then you're like, oh, that's okay. That's just two things. I can work with that. So
it just pays it makes me pay more attention to, like, I can no longer just sit there and say, oh, that's okay. When I see that first warning, I should just start running. So that's the only thing. It just made me more aware of who I pick and choose as a friend, or mm-hmm. who I pick and choose to have in my circle. And so I took it more as a, usually people take it as negativity, but I, at that moment, I was working on myself, and I just mm-hmm. took it as a life lesson, as in, okay, yeah, this is the wrong way to get this lesson, but now you know you can't trust everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
Every person that smiles in your face or cheese and say, oh, I'm your friend, or anything of that nature, you can't trust everybody. So for now on, when I go with a guy that I just met or something, I start taking friends, other friends, and if other friends can't go, it's like, nah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go again. It's like, it's okay. I'll wait until such and such can come, and it's like, oh, it's okay. You came with me. Nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I've got learned from that whole situation I went through.
What message could you give to another female that has gone through that and don't want to talk about it?
I would say to them, take your time. Don't, I know it's something you're not supposed to hold, but take your time. You talk about it when you're ready to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow people to talk about it, because everybody has their own way of healing from different experiences. Mm-hmm. And when you're ready to talk about it, it is a sense of relief when you actually decide to tell everybody about it and talk about it. The more you talk, I'm not going to say it's going to get better and you're not going to hurt from it, because it still leaves its scars, but it's, and at the end of the day, everybody's going to make you feel like you're at fault. And they just need to remember that they are not the ones. I don't care if you had on a short skirt, or if you had on a tight fitting outfit, or if you had too many drinks. When you said no and you did not give consent, no means no. And I don't care how many people come to you and ask you questions and try to make it seem like you're the one at fault, and that individual was victim to you seducing them, as they may say. Just remember, at the end of the day, no means no, and you're not at fault.
I agree with that.
So that's mainly my message to them. Like, don't feel like you are the cause of it happening to you, because you're not. And that's how people started to make me feel like I was the reason why it happened. Like, it was my fault. So my main thing is, don't feel like you are the reason why it happened, because everybody is raised differently. And there's some sick people out there that's like really sick. So you're not the reason, and it's not you. And that'll be my advice to them.
That's good. That's real good. That's real good. I got one more question for you. Are you healed?
Yes, ma'am. I'm not saying I'm completely healed from it, but I'm getting there. I have my moments where I have like flashback memories. Like, I always tell everybody, most people come to me on my birthday, and I'm not really as ecstatic as everybody else when their birthday comes around. It's like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, my birthday is always a constant reminder of the incident. So I'm not going to say I'm all the way healed, but I'm getting better.
That's good. That's real good. As long as you're getting better, that's all that matters. And you take your time with that.
Yeah, so I'm in a work in progress.
Well, I am grateful that you came on to share something like that. I do know that there are women out there that have gone through that, or have been through it and don't talk about it. I'm one. I've talked about mine because that's the only way I knew how to get through it was to talk about it. So I tell everybody. I mean, I don't tell everybody, but I share it if I feel like someone needs to hear it. And I talk about it. I was young. I was like 13, 14. So it's a healing thing. Yeah. It still takes time, and for me, I still am reminded of it, but I try to erase it out of my mind, but it's something that can't be erased. You know what I mean?
It can't. It's like no matter how much you try to, it can't. And it's like, it makes you look at people differently. Mm-hmm. It really does. And it's like, you can't look at everybody differently. You got to realize, you can't look at everybody as the same. You got to remember everybody's different.
Yeah.
And just because that one person did it don't mean everybody else is gonna do it, but you still on edge.
Mm-hmm.
It always keeps you on edge, and it always keeps you on your toes, because it's like, okay, you gotta remember, all right, you gotta be on your P's and Q's.
Awareness.
You don't know what's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. And being that I was raised in a Christian family, with the Christian background, and you know how it's like, you can't be telling everybody your business. So it was more one of those situations, and it was so bad because how I shut down, people started, I had to be, my mom and them took me to the clinic to get checked. So people who's catching wind of whatever little pieces of stuff, and when they don't know the full story, they start carrying it out. And so from my knowledge, I done had a baby and had an abortion with some dude in college. And it's like, no, that's not the case. Well, around whatever time, everybody was like, oh, you was acting like that, and you were the way you were, and you shut down the way you did because you had an abortion. And I'm like, that's where people should start minding their own business and looking into their own families, because no, that's not the case.
Lord,
I've been going through my own trials, my own issues, my own problems that I had to deal with in myself before I was able to explain what happened.
Yeah. Well, you are a beautiful woman. I follow you on Facebook and Instagram. I think you have a daughter, right?
Yeah, I have a little girl.
She's very beautiful. So I see you have grown from that. Just keep pushing. That's all I could say. You know, keep striving. You're a beautiful woman. We all know that was not your fault. So.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
And I do appreciate you joining on the podcast and sharing your story. There's going to be people that are going to hear this. And, thank you. I don't know what else to say, because, like, that was a touching, it was a touchy subject, you know what I mean? And a lot of people don't like to talk about it. A lot of women don't really like to talk about it. So for you to get up here and talk about it makes you strong, makes you
And I'm a main one. It's like, One young lady I talked to, and she was a victim, and it was like, she was like, well, I speak on it. And I looked at her and I was like, how do you speak on it? And her situation was way more deeper than mine. And I was like, oh gosh. And I'm like, but how do you speak on such a situation? I said, with me, I feel embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. But you shouldn't.
And that's why I was like, I'm still in the process of healing from it. It's like, and then I was thinking, I was debating on whether I should say this. And I was like, should this be something I talk to her about? Or so it was like, but It's just something I feel that, I don't know why, but it's just that feeling of shame and embarrassment. And that's how I feel. And that's why people, I'm like, you can't say how you would feel.
You ain't never been through it.
So
you can't talk about it.
Exactly.
But you should not feel shame. You should not be embarrassed. Because little do you know, that this happens a lot. It happens with people and families too. Like, that's the worst part.
I know, and it shouldn't.
And people don't talk about it. And a lot of, especially our people, like our Black people, our Black community, we like to sweep it up under the rug. We're not going to talk about it. We ain't going to tell nobody about it.
Because of our religious background. Right. And it's like a keep it on a hush hush. So such and such. So it's like being taught. So, you know, say I guess that's part of why I didn't tell, even though my family told me to tell. But once you have certain situations that you already know be swept under the rug, it's like, okay, well, maybe I should sweep this under the rug too, because I'm embarrassed because of it. And it's like, well, why won't you talk about it? Because I'm embarrassed because of it. You can't say you embarrassed because it didn't happen. No one took advantage of you. And you can't speak on what you would and wouldn't do.
Yep.
So it's...
it's crazy.
It is. It's a bad, and it's bad that we think that way, like...
And that's the way that we were taught.
If it's another race... Yeah, and it's another race. They were like... it's like encouragement. They don't make that individual feel like, hey, you're at fault. And I can't say my family was supportive, but then at the same time, I was ashamed. They were encouraged. You have some ones that were made it seem like, oh, I had to be drinking, but then at the same time, my mom and my grandmother, biggest support, and my aunts. And it was like, you need to talk about it. And it's like, no, I don't want to talk about it. So it was like, they respect my decision, even though they really didn't approve of it, but it was like, they kind of respect it, like, okay. And my mom explained to me, well, I don't know how it feels, so I can't really tell you what to do. All I can do is just give you my advice and be there for you during whatever it is you're going through. My grandma, she prayed about it, and she was the same, so... I'm thankful for my family being that support because I could have been going through without it. And heaven only knows where my head would have been at if I wasn't able to talk to family about it. So
true.
That's one good thing. So my thing is, if it happened, take your time talking about it. Don't hold it too long, especially if it's something that's eating away at you, because it can go, it can take other measures, and it shouldn't be that way for you.
Thank you for that one. That's a great message. That's how we end that one. I do appreciate you joining. Again, thank you so much. You are a brave woman, and you just keep pushing. Like I said, keep striving, keep healing. It don't happen overnight, as we all know. So
it doesn't.
Keep healing from it.
And thank you for having me on your show.
No problem, Whitney. You have a wonderful day. Stay safe.
All right. You too. All right.